Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 and 16 through 21. The Reverend Phil Krupski is preaching. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people, in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And the Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces in their fasting, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Text for our meditation today is the Gospel from Matthew 6 that I shared a moment ago. Let's think about using the right tool for the right job for a moment. You know, sometimes we get used to sort of using the wrong tools for the wrong job in life. For example, you have a stuck bolt, and instead of going getting the hammer to tap on it to loosen it, you have that wrench, and so you start beating on it with the wrench for a while. There's just not enough mass there, and it just doesn't usually unstick that bolt. Or maybe you have a tarp covering something over out in your yard, and it's got a big split in it from weathering. So, of course, the quickest way to fix a split in a tarp is what? Duct tape, right? So you put that duct tape out there, and the first time there's a rainstorm, the duct tape lets loose, and you have a hole again. Or let's go into the kitchen. You have something, some food that's kind of suspended in some liquid, and you really don't want all that liquid all over the plate. So you grab a spoon, just a regular spoon, and you kind of pull it up against the side of the bowl and try to turn it on its side so that the liquid drains off, and then put it on your plate, and pretty soon you have soggy food everywhere. The right tool to use would be the slotted spoon to let it really drain out. I think you get my point. Now, why talk about using the right tools for the right things this morning? Well, I really think that sometimes we struggle with understanding good works, the tool of good works, and don't understand what those good works are really for. And sometimes we try to use the tool of good works for things that are not appropriate before our Lord. For some reason, probably because of the brazen, self-centered, prideful, sin-corrupted side of us, we desire to use our good works somehow to prop up the anxiety that we have inside and saying, you know, if I just do this, I will make myself a better person. I will make myself more desirable to God. I'll have a better standing. I'll finally find peace if I just do these good things. Practicing righteousness, as Jesus describes it in our text. And yet, the more we try to use the tool of good works for those purposes, the more it drives us into despair, because the good works are never enough to satisfy neither our God nor us. We don't have a tool in our toolbox to make us better people. And that's a tough thing to comprehend, because our world is all about trying to live your best life and make yourself a better person. Good works don't accomplish that in our life. Only Jesus' blood shed on the cross can do that for us. That's why it was necessary for his passion. Lent teaches us that very well, yet even in Lent, there lurks this preoccupation with doing some extra good works. I was on a plane last night watching everybody walk in, and maybe, I don't know, 15% of the people walking in with their ashes on their forehead. And I was just wondering, what's on the inside of those people's minds as they wear those? Maybe they didn't think about it at all. Well, what place do good works serve in our life? Many have endeavored to describe this. You know, what purpose do our Lenten good works serve in our life? And that's an appropriate question for us to ask on this second day of Lent. As Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, God prepared those good works in advance for us to walk in them. So they're obviously important. But if they aren't earning salvation, if they aren't making us better people, then what good are they? What are they doing? What's the point? Well, I would share that Jesus makes it really clear in the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 6 that we read today, makes it really clear what the purpose of those good works is. He addresses three practices associated with the words literally are doing righteousness. And those three practices that he refers to are almsgiving, giving to the poor, fasting, and prayer. Does that sound a little Lenten-like? Kind of three practices that often get associated with this season. Jesus digs into those practices. In a few words, he shows how often that this doing of righteousness turns into a hypocritical manifestation that reveals what we're really wanting is approval. We're really craving acknowledgement from those around us for all the good things that we're doing. It's amazing how good works can slide into those ulterior motives. Here's just a little sidebar about that. In the world that I work in at the foundation, all about financial giving, I hear a lot about generosity all the time. In fact, you open up NIV, ESV, you find the word generosity in Scripture. It's right there, so why shouldn't we be using it? It's interesting that that word generosity only slid into our English translations in the last 25 years or so. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, one of the chapters where that word generous or generosity appears all the time, what the word really means is let your giving be done without hypocrisy. It's not about saying, look at me, how generous I am. Look at us, how generous we are. Paul says, as you're giving to this collection for the fellow saints back in Jerusalem, let it be without hypocrisy. Let it simply be caring for your brothers and sisters in the faith. Jesus' point in our text for today from Matthew 6 is that if we allow our practice of righteous things to fall into that category of acknowledgement and getting praise for what we do, doing it all out in public for it to be seen, He says, you've already received your reward. Instead, Jesus says, when you're giving alms to the poor, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. When you're praying, go into your private room and lock the door so it's just you and God in there. And when you're fasting, put oil on your face. Make yourself look pretty. Don't let anybody else know that you are fasting. And then he says, then it's between you and your God. Why no public display? Why no trumpets blasting or glum faces to accompany our fasting? Because then we have made the accolades we're going to receive be the reward for those things. We do them to boost our egos, and we fall in to Satan cultivating that curving in on ourselves, even with things that are meant to be righteous. Instead, Jesus points us instead and says, in all these righteous practices, go directly to your Father. And what do we find in our Father? We find in our Father a God who has already taken care of the reward. Long before we've ever practiced any righteous things, the reward has been secured. It's been secured through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And it's given as a gift. And so these practices are meant to drive us into the presence of our Father, so that with one solid confession, we say, our righteousness comes not from the things we do, but from what Jesus did for us. Jesus says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Not because you did some good things, but your Father who sees in secret will reward you because of what his Son, Jesus, already did. All these practices, even the practices of Lent, drive us to cling by faith to our Heavenly Father, who alone can give us that reward that we need, that reward that we only find in connection with His Son. And sometimes all of these righteous practices can also translate into showing love toward our neighbor. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Love God, love your neighbor. The very thing for which we have been baptized, the very thing for which we have been recreated in Christ. That Ephesians 2:10, for you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for you to do. So love God, love your neighbor, and know that your reward is with the Father who secured it through his Son. So along away with our long faces during Lent, along with our making ourselves look so solemn to try to gain attention to so that somebody knows that we're doing something that seems so righteous, let's not fall into the devil's trap with Lent, but let us let Lent drive us into the very presence of our Father who can reward us. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast to Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.